For just about a decade, a local band has been steadily gathering momentum and popularity here and around the country. The group is Illphonics, a hip-hop funk-rock fusion band. It's gone beyond being called up-and-coming. The band has twice been named Best Hip-Hop Group by the Riverfront Times. Its third album, Gone with the Trends, has had a nice critical review and is doing well. While receiving that good news, Illphonics is also giving back. The group will be performing at the Sheldon this Friday to help raise money to provide instruments for our area music students who can't afford them. Joining me in studio to talk about the group, what it's doing, and where it's going are Illphonics frontman MC Larry Morris, drummer and vocalist Chaz CB Crew. Guys, nice to have Brew. Sorry about that, Chaz.
Not a problem, man.
You're a big guy. I don't want to be on the wrong side. But thanks very much for coming.
Sure,
in.
Not a problem.
Thanks for having us.
Congratulations on your success so far. Taken you 10 years to get to where you are today.
Only, right?
Yes, sir. Overnight sensations. Things going well? Things going well for you now?
Yes.
We've been blessed. We definitely are happy with what's going on and where we're going. So it's 10 years. It's never stopped. It never stops the work, but we're happy.
Yeah. Well, no complaints.
I'm glad to hear that. Let me start with you. You know, this is a very crowded field that you're in. A lot going on, a lot of competition. How does Illphonics set itself apart from all the other groups that are out there?
Well, I think we set ourselves apart because we genuinely love all types of music. The thing that makes us work is that when we come together as a group to create, there's never it has to be hip hop. You know, it's always, this is what we feel. If it's gospel, that's what we go with. If it's rock, that's what we go with. And as an MC, growing up being around so many diverse MCs, I've made it my responsibility to meld to the group and mold myself with them. And they've done an excellent job of understanding the needs of a vocalist, a frontman, and an MC. So I think that's what makes us really work.
And Chaz, the more that you can do, if you're not isolated and limited to one particular type of music, then the broader your audience has to be, ultimately.
Well, as far as we like to use all type of genres, you know, when we try to write. So I never usually the writing process. I never listen to hip hop. Ever. Like, I always listen to jazz, gospel, rock, sometimes even classical. You know, it just depends on the mood. But I never listen to hip-hop music ever, usually when it's that time. Since we're, you know, a band, you know, you got live music, it's a little different versus, you know, the average MC just going in a booth and just, you know, rapping to, you know, a drum machine, you know, versus, you know, when you have, you know, real instrumentation, you know, it makes a big difference.
But Larry, don't you agree this really broadens the audience potential when you go at it this way?
Oh yeah, it definitely does, you know, and that's been the blessing of it all is because, you know, people have these stereotypes of hip hop music. And what I usually say is, you know, a lot of hip hop songs that I like, they have samples of rock, jazz, and whatnot. Only thing is, we don't sample it. We create it ourselves. We build it from scratch.
You write all your own material?
Everything, 100%. Everything is all Illphonics. Everything is in-house. Yep. Yes, sir.
What is Illphonics? Tell me about the name before we listen to some of your music.
Illphonics comes from, when the band first started, it was kind of more of a like, you know, I'm rapping and the guys were playing instruments. But we decided after playing some open mics and whatnot that Fallout and Friends, as CB once said, sounded like a PBS special.
Yes, it did.
So,
well, there's nothing wrong with that. Come on.
yeah, but, you know. So for us, we were practicing one day on the campus of Webster University because you would notice something about our timeline. University City and Webster University are two big focal points in the evolution of the band. But we were at Webster University. We were practicing at the WVA. I was an RA on call at the time. So my boss, she allowed us to use the clubhouse to practice. Great. And after about an hour or two of going back and forth, we said we wanted to be called Illphonics. Everything that comes from us sound-wise, we wanted it to be ill. And everybody liked it. It was the one name we all were like, I liked it, and it stuck.
Yes, it was definitely 2 hours. It was a long time. It was definitely.
Is the group the same today as it was 10 years ago? Same people.
Same people, yeah. We just added a new member, Lena Charlie. She's done background with us for a few years, but we just added her. But the core members that started the group were still here.
Yeah.
Now, we different people, absolutely. Yes. But, you know.
We want to give folks a sample of what you do. And one of the things that we'll be listening to is one called 96 to 99. Chaz, tell me about that. Did you write this?
This song was actually a group collective. This is actually an idea that Kevin, the guitar player, came up with, and that's how we usually work. We have a song, sit down with it, and then we just expand upon it. But this song definitely was more of a group effort.
There's a message here, Larry.
Yeah. A lot of us, we're in the same age vicinity. And so for me, I came into hip-hop around 1995, 1996. And, you know, everybody in hip-hop debates on when the golden era is and the golden age. And, you know, it's subjective. But, I mean, for us, we came into hip-hop between 96 to 99. And at that time, music for me was everything. Like, it was my entire world. And what you see today as an MC definitely can be traced back to that period of time with the influences from Tupac over to the Wu-Tang Clan and whatnot. These things that were my formative years, and that's what we say, and that's where 96 to 99 comes from.
Let's give a listen to at least part of 96 to 99.
All right.
Hip-hop, man, just where do I start? At 11 years of age, you infiltrated my heart. Nas and Fire Rude, the world came on BET. I knew my career path had to be an MC. That was in 96 and I was barely a teen when Tupac was shot in Vegas, forever changing the scene. Remembering where I was, I found it hard to believe. Machiavelli was really gone, I found it hard to conceive. In the middle of the map, we listened to all kinds. Bone Thugs, Dog Pound, Common, Busta Rhymes. Families from the South, our subwoofers were heave. With Outkast, UGK, Ball, and MJG. No Limit, Cash Money, starting to buzz. 96 to 99, I still remember the days I fell in love with hip hop in the last golden age. Hey. Rap City became the source, MTV Raps ran its course. Daily Staples with it, miss before your DVR. Stuff paper in old tapes, that's the way to record. On my rag.
Here we are. That's Illphonics, and what we just heard was a portion of 96 to 99. Larry, that sounds very autobiographical to me.
Yeah, it definitely was. You know, I go on in the song to talk about how I didn't have siblings in my home. I have brothers and sisters, but we didn't live in the same house. So it was just me and my mother. And hip-hop music was my everything. Like, you know, I look forward to going down to Vintage Vinyl, buying records. I would get on Original Hip-Hop Lyrics Archive, and I could get to a computer and break down the lyrics of my favorite rappers. So it was a time in my life where it was me and the music. That's what I was living for, it felt like, at times, you know?
Chaz, what do you think it is about hip-hop that has caught on the way it has over the last 20 years or so? I mean, it's just taken over the music industry.
What I believe it is, a lot of MCs these days, they talk about things that are going on in the community, and I think a lot of that hits home to a lot of, you know, the young youth, and I believe it's because of that, the reason why, you know, hip-hop's gotten so big.
But, you know, initially it was really just focused on the African-American community now it's very, very big in the white community as well.
Yes, it's probably the biggest it's ever been. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a great thing. I think it's one of the best things that have happened because I believe there's no color to it. I believe if you're good at it, why not? You know, give it a shot. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I've said to people many times, I think that today's poets are the people who are doing hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and really some very, very interesting things are being said and communicated this way. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, to piggyback off of CB, hip-hop has always been, as many would say, a CNN for the street. It's been a way for different groups. Like, a lot of people, if you look at the origins of hip-hop, hip-hop even though it was started in black communities, you can trace it back to the Bronx and New York and whatnot. There's always been a Latin influence. There's always been white people that were doing graffiti. You can move them around and whatnot. You know, you look at the beginning of Def Jam and what's my guy that recorded the Beastie Boys, Rick Rubin. You know, like hip hop has always been all inclusive, you know, and it's something that it's changed over the years because it's went mainstream. But if you know the roots of hip hop and whatnot, you know that it's always been an open door for anybody as long as you respect the culture. Yeah. When you break that and you stop respecting the culture, then that's when hip hop has a problem.
Chaz, what do you make of Hamilton now, which is a New York play, and it's basically hip hop. It's a rap play that is probably the most successful play ever on Broadway. And talk about mainstream, it couldn't be more so than that.
Well, me personally, I haven't heard too much about it, but when you take hip-hop, especially something that wasn't accepted, you take something like that and put it on the main stage of Broadway, like, it just shows you how times have changed, you know, and it's unbelievable, you know. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful thing, because you asked me 15 years ago, I never would have thought that would ever happen.
Larry, how about you? I mean, this genre has really found a home on Broadway now.
Yeah, I mean, hip hop though, it attaches itself or things attach to it, and it makes it better. I just feel, you know, like you can watch a commercial, and they can have theme music for it, and it's cool, it's catchy. Yeah. But if it's a hip hop song and it's done right, it just draws you in and whatnot, because there's so many complexities, rhythm, lyrics, you know what I mean? The concepts and whatnot. And when hip hop's done right, it's like beyond the all American music. Mm-hmm. It's like next level, it's outer space. So yeah, I love that it's on Broadway and it's being accepted the way that it is.
Let's give another listen to another one of your selections here. But before we do that, mm-hmm. we should point out that the one we heard first, 96 to 99, mm-hmm. You've just done a video of that. So where is that going to be available?
Well,
online?
It's online right now. We're working to get it actually national. So, you know, keep your eyes and your ears open and whatnot.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, but you can find it on YouTube, /Illphonics YouTube. You can find it on our Facebook page, Illphonics Sound. Those are the main places that you can find it right now.
We are going to be putting links to all of that on our website. Okay, the next one we want to hear is What Do You Like? What can you tell me about that before we listen?
What Do You Like, as far as the music, it was one of my ideas I had, because I come from a church background, so that's where, like, the gospel element comes from. And most of my stuff, ideas I bring, I'm kind of skeptical, because I'm like, this might not work, you know. But it's always one of the guys like, no, CB, like, we got to do this. We got to do this. So once we came with the music, and this was one of the songs we actually done first, like, before we recorded any of the album, this was actually one of the first songs we started with. So this one was probably the most put together, I would think, because we had the most rehearsal with this song. So,
and when I heard it, I came with some lyrics originally. I recited it to them because it's a cutting floor in the group. So I'll bring lyrics and I'm like, yeah, check this out. And they'll be like, we don't really like that. So I'll go back. And the song deals with vice. And Gone with the Trends, our album that we released, kind of showed, it's the whole concept of that album is not following what everybody's doing. And for me, I wrote lyrics in this song discussing the flip side of vice. We celebrate vice today. It's cool to overindulge in everything, but what happens when you party too much? What happens when you get all this money and you don't know how to use it? So that's what it is. What do you like? Because we all have a vice. Can you control it? So
let's give a listen.
Like the dress, it's tight. No holds barred. She walked the edge. edge of a knife. The fast lane that will come at a price. You know the dangerous life. Look to the fam that always came to life. And the party favors given out right. The more luxurious type. The best drink in any high you can name. Long trips and what money can bring. You know the fancier things. Her friends worry about her love of the game. And ponder what could be her reason for change. She found it hard to explain. All the elements that's mentioned within are only parts of the reason she did. Look on the way that she lives.
There's nowhere to run, baby. And there's no need to hide. You might think it's wrong, baby. But this is the life. Have some fun, baby. Let's go for a ride. Just imagine where I could take you, wherever you like.
There you go. You guys are really getting into it just listening to it. I'm watching you. You've got the beat down. No question. You know, one of the things that you hear of those who criticize rap music and hip-hop music are questions of language in some cases, questions of misogyny in some cases. Mm-hmm. What is your approach to that? Is that something that you utilize or would utilize, or does it have any place in Illphonics?
Personally, the way I was raised, I'm not very much into disrespecting women and talking about certain. I come from a background where you don't speak on things you don't live. So if you're not out in the streets, you don't talk about the streets, because that's just gone with the trends. You're breaking the code right there. But as far as hip hop doing it, I think that if a rapper, if that's their background, we can't fault them for that. You can't take it. You can't. Like Jay-Z, for example, he came from a background where he was a drug dealer. That was his reality. So when he spoke on it, I felt like, you know, that was real to him. But I think the thing is that gets lost in hip-hop. And let me make something clear. Hip-hop has many subgenres. And I think we group everything into one thing and we call it hip-hop. And sometimes you got trap music, you got conscious hip-hop. It's not all the same. But with Jay-Z speaking on what he's saying and whatnot, he has the right to do that. But I think as MCs, we have a job to give a moral. You know, it's our responsibility to tell people, if you want to, this is the streets, but there's an outcome if it doesn't go right, you know.
Chaz, are you now, where you are now is where you wanted to be 10 years ago. Are you, did you think you'd be farther along now in terms of national reputation or?
Well, starting then, I didn't know where I was going to be, you know, when starting out. You know, I was doing, you know, street things, so I didn't even know would I even live, you know what I mean? But it's just a blessing to still, you know, be 29 years old, you know, and still, you know, being with the same group of people, making great music. And I'm thankful that we're at this point now, and we still got a long way to go, you know, but I'm thankful for where we are now.
How about you, Larry?
Yeah, I mean, who would have thought when we were in the basement coming up with these songs that we would be going to Texas and seeing people we've never met, and they're like, I love that song. So I think we're at a good point. I think the next year or two will determine how far we go, because we're really at a pivotal point. We can actually see it.
What is next?
What's next for us is pretty much we've been working and just kind of, we're kind of out of this market now. St. Louis is so big. So you can only play here so much before people are like, I've come to your shows enough. So doing that, working on some cool events here, and like we're doing with the Sheldon Show, trying to give back whenever we can.
Very briefly, let's talk about that show, because it's for a good cause. Mm-hmm. I never heard of the organization that is involved with it, but I guess there are a lot of kids out there who have talent, who would like to develop it, but they don't have the wherewithal to buy the instruments.
Right.
So.
I mean, like Chaz said, music has helped a lot of people stay or steer clear of, you know, bad situations. And Paul and Quentin over at the Sheldon, I got to know them when we did the STL 250, because we were part of that songwriting contest. And we've all been trying to find for years something we all agreed on donating to. And while speaking with them about doing the show, they had an organization called Music for Lifelong Achievement. and that organization puts instruments in the hands of disadvantaged children. And we were like, we would love to do our 10-year show and give a percentage of the proceeds to that organization.
Yes. Well, good for you. We only have a minute and a half left. Let's listen to a part of the third song that you brought along with you, Everything Jamming for You. Is that different from what we've heard up to now?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. It is. Yes, it is.
It's more of them doing jazz.
Let's listen to 30 or 40 seconds of it before we have to say goodbye.
All right.
You all looking so lovely tonight. Thank you for joining us. You are at the most exclusive lounge in town. Tonight we have the Illphonics.
You've never been ordinary, still rising to new heights. Exos fears the surrounding, look down and you'll see flight. Not pretentious, just extensions of the vibe that you're on. The cryogenic percentage means you're monica cold. I'm abnormal and bold, like alchemists turn everything gold. While others fold like...
Sounds of the Illphonics. And if you'd like to hear more of that, go to the Sheldon on Friday evening at 8. They'll be appearing there and raising money for a good cause. I want to thank you, Larry Morris, so much for being with us. And Chaz, thank you. It's great seeing Chaz Brew.
Thank you.
Great to have you with us. And once again, the name of the new album is Gone with the Trends. All righty. People will listen for that.
Yes.
Congratulations, guys. Good luck to you.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.